system. I find you in the shows and moving are great. And being a nerd, the sign system is everywhere you go.
That's probably my favorite one so far. It's like right to the point. Everyone knows, well, everyone that was born before a certain year knows what you're. Yeah, well done. That was.
I think we're gonna switch some of the jingles more commercial based things from a certain era. I think we're sort of leaning that way already. But
as soon as you say from a certain age or a certain era, that just means old, right?
That just means old, like yeah. Classic.
Mature. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Design System Office Hours podcast. This will be another classic episode.
Classic indeed.
Classic. How are you, PJ?
I'm good. I'm doing well. What's new on your end? What have you been up to?
No, the normal. Building things, breaking things, detaching things.
Like detaching like your retina or something like that. More of like Figma components.
Other things outside, but.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm glad, man. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Yeah. Today's episode is about the question that probably many, many managers and many organizations ask. Do you need a design system?
And this is one of those like product decisions. If it's not a hell yes, then it's probably a no. But that's it'd be a short episode if we just ended it there. So I'm looking forward to digging into that further.
Yeah, the beauty of this conversation is that most of us start off the journey into design systems by advocating for the design system. So most of the time we're doing this stuff part-time. We are churning along either managing documentation, creating component libraries, but we're all alone. If we're lucky, we have a partner on the engineering side that is helping us. But then at the end of this vision and spirit journey, I would say there's a quintessential question that leadership will ask is, do you need this? Do we need these artifacts that you've created to continue forward and move on?
And let's be honest with ourselves, considering design systems haven't formally been around for all that long. We've been able to make software for a long time without design systems. It's not a necessity. And I think that's worth leaning into and acknowledging. Can you work at the same pace and at the same quality? I would say yes, but it requires a very specific way of working, a pretty process heavy, pretty QA heavy, pretty approval heavy. All these things are possible. It's just typically software companies haven't wanted to work that way to get the benefits that you can get from a design system.
Yeah, this brings me back to a note to a podcast. I don't remember the name of the podcast, but it's talking about 37 Signals. And on their website, not app, they have 37 unique ideas that are built in 37 different unique ways. And the founders of 37 Signals was saying that you don't need a design system. It's a spicy idea. And they wanted to give the autonomy for the designers to build these individual 37 ideas in its own way. And I think looking at it from that lens, sure, that seems suitable. But there must be ideally some foundational relationship between the 37 different pages.
I mean, if you are trying to create 37 independent things that work completely differently, then a design system is the exact opposite of what you want in some degrees. But I would argue typically you're not wanting to do that. Typically you want to make these things all 37, or to be honest, 37,000 things work and function in the same, following the same basic rules. And so your focus is on uniqueness and a, think out of the box approach for everything that you make, then by all means, save your money and don't make a design system. But, historically, at least, those haven't been the problems that we've been trying to solve at some of these larger software companies, for better or for worse. And so therefore, that's when a design system starts to make more sense at a certain scale.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of more people that we're meeting these days that are design systems or design teams of one to two, possibly with one or two engineers. And I would say there's a certain threshold. I don't have a number off the top of my head, but if you're supporting a small amount of designers, maybe the artifacts aren't going to be the thing that is going to help speed you up. Maybe it's writing documentation or working directly with engineers to facilitate the build process.
I think the components are definitely the most actionable, the most tangible, but I do think, to me, the promise of design system and just a systems approach to thinking is providing a singular point of view for how something is done and the rules and models to accomplish that, so that it's a shared understanding. We've codified those typically in a design system with UI components, but it doesn't need to be that way. As there are new ways to interface with computers, and you know, a user interface, a graphical user interface may not be that thing. I still think a design system is going to make sense because of how it tries to codify the thinking and approach for how to develop an experience through actionable pieces. And so, sure, we may not be using buttons, we'll maybe using something else, but the thinking behind it, I think that's the most valuable thing for a company, is how to distill a point of view from how to develop an experience and make that a real thing.
Yeah, it's I believe it's probably, like you said, more of the systems mindset. So a good example would be we had gotten buy-in to create our design system for Disney Plus. There was intentionality around the fact that it was a lowercase d design system. So primarily UIKit component library. So as I was building out the web experience, I was finding pieces on my own that were reusable. And the things that we did start with were very, very, very minimal in terms of system components. There were typography, colors, buttons. That was pretty much it. Like the core foundational set of things. And as we started building out the experience, we would see patterns in different use cases between discovery screens with carousels, detail screens also with carousels. Surprise, surprise, Disney Plus has a lot of carousels. But then different unique combinations of things as well. And I think that's when we started understanding, oh, this is, if we build this in a certain way, utilizing smaller items, and then build templates to support the designers, they could do whatever they want with it. And it did really start out as the lowercase d design system, but we would really use the systems approach to reinforce how we deliver and how we speak about the artifacts themselves. And I think that's what really sold the thing and really got it over the finish line to continue to do the work. Otherwise, if it was just a few of us maintaining this library, it could just be a core set of maybe throwing out a number. 20 components that could create a bunch of different things and give the designers autonomy to lay out however they need to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that's exciting to me, is not the systemization of UI components, but just the systemization of things. Not that we should just all be cogs in a machine and never think critically about anything that we do and just follow what the system tells us to do, but more about how can I back away from the specific problem that I'm dealing with and find a way to abstract it in a way to where it can apply to more things, so that we are solving problems, hopefully more broadly, that can create solutions for more people. And we work in the same way, which creates consistency, predictability, stability, a lot of abilities, which I think we oftentimes undervalue the importance of, especially at a large organization. The chaos and thrash and uncertainty that can come in of just so many people working on so many different things has an impact on people and on the final product. And that to me is the big promise of a design system, is how it can create an institution of stability and common knowledge, so that people are all moving in the same direction, almost subconsciously.
Yeah, I'm thinking of this world of just, let's say, forget components altogether. Let's say that you were bootstrapped, pun intended. You're bootstrapped and you're really just focusing on developing a small type ramp and a small color palette. Let's say 5 type values, maybe 5 different colors. This is like a PJ and I's perfect system. And we would develop more atomic level guidance on spacing and then just let designers go. And I feel like that might be something that might benefit people, especially if you're in an organization where you need to move very fast and launch things all the time. The friction will be removed because you're just really focusing on what the brand and the expression might be.
Yeah. And bringing that back to, you know, why you won't need a design system. I think that's a great lead in of, you know, how little of a design system can you have? We tend to be in this constant growth cycle where it has to get bigger and it has to do more. There's sometimes it doesn't have to do more. And when is enough enough? And when can you kind of, when can you hit the brakes and have as little of a design system as necessary that still meets the goals that you're aiming for? I mean, that is the dream. You're working less and achieving the same amount. And so that's one thing I think we can all pause and reflect on, you know, as we're going into, you know, goals and creating roadmaps, is it's so easy just to add more and more and grow and expand. But sometimes that's going to have the opposite effect of what you're aiming for. Sometimes it's about doing less and having your design system be smaller than what it already is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of this from like an engineering point of view. Hopefully, maybe you could shed some light on this. So if you are part of a small engineering team, and let's say you're using something like Bootstrap or Tailwind, what bits and pieces would you look to adopt first? How would you approach building like an interface if you had to do something within a short amount of time?
Sure. I mean, typically the hello world of a design system is a button, right? Like that's the starting point. I don't know if that's the right starting point. You know, I think maybe even just having the foundational attributes. This is the DNA of our language. Colors, our type ramp, our spacing, that in and of itself can be extremely valuable from an engineering standpoint. And I would honestly, if you're just getting started and you want to get a sense of whether you need a design system at all, I would definitely start as small as possible. I would not say, let's make a whole design system and figure out if we need a design system. I would really try to make as small of a slice of that system as possible, launch that and assess how much impact this had and try to project out, okay, based off of this amount of impact, do we see this growing, leveling out, or actually decreasing because of complexity? So that would, to me, be a good gut check. Are we ready for it? Do we have enough people? That's another thing. If it takes you, you know, half of your, if you, let's say you have two engineers on your startup and it takes half of your entire engineering org, which is one, to do this, I would argue that's probably, you're going to need to see some real efficiency gains to justify focusing that amount of effort. And so it also goes to just how big is your company? How aligned are they naturally versus how misaligned? And trying to figure out those things will have a big impact as to whether it makes sense to go down this path.
Yeah. The other extreme would be if you're maybe a small team in a large, super large org, and you anticipate having to build products that will have to span multiple brands. So a good example that made this very clear for us was prior to being fully acquired by Disney, BAMTech was the company name, and we were building out video playback experiences. So I was working on a video player that was white label agnostic that we could use for any number of different partners. And it was really easy to work on patterns when there's no brand and you're really thinking about just a hierarchical structure. But the moment that we knew that we would have to either adapt this for ESPN or Disney Plus, then we have to try to figure out how might we keep the integrity of this and scale it and make it something that we could build on top on. And then Hulu came around and we brought on Hulu. So how can we keep our simple player and layer on functionality in a systematic way? So once you get to multi-brand, I think that's another way to look at the usefulness if you do decide to build a system with theming, design language, design tokens, that sort of thing. But it's tough because I feel like there's a lot of folks that we're engaging with like on Twitter and on LinkedIn that are on smaller teams and they're solo or design pairs. And I think it's really easy to get caught up, like you said, building out components with, you know, hundreds of variants versus focusing on like a core set of things that, that you might just need to get started.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've frequently said that a style guide is not a design system. And I hold to that opinion, but that doesn't mean it's not valuable. And that could be a great place to start. Look, all right, we don't have the engineering resources, or we're not ready to take the full leap, or, you know, we just really want to focus in on the design of this thing before we take that next step. It still can create immense value and alignment to create a style guide. You're putting your point of view out there. You're defining it. You're trying to create the rules of engagement for how to develop an experience. Is it a design system? I'd say no. Whether that matters or not, like, it's semantics at the end of the day. Is it still valuable? It could be immensely valuable. And that could be a great place to start. And you may learn that that's all you need to do. And that's your end point. And that's okay too. The end goal doesn't need to be the design system. If you're getting the same outcomes out of doing less, then like, congratulations, you won. You're doing less to get the same amount. And that, I think that should be rewarded. And so if you can try to approach this through the lens of like, this is what we're trying to get done, and how can we take the fastest route to that path, I think ultimately that's going to lead you to the greatest amount of success.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the feedback that we get commonly. That we're bottleneck. Design system team is a bottleneck. We slow you down, which is quite frankly the opposite of what we would like to express ourselves as. But if using the system is mired by governance and politics and, you know, ambiguity or the lack of documentation, I see where designers are coming from. They really just want to get some guidance to build this thing because it's, you know, it was due yesterday, right?
That's another reason not to make a design system, is if you're interested in a quick win, because it's not, typically it's not going to be a quick win. This is a long burn, long term game. And a lot of this goes into not only making the system, but changing the way people engage with it, changing the way people work, to have it be a central part of their job. And if that is not the case now, it's going to take time to happen. And if you're interested in like, but I want to get promoted this year, then maybe a design system is not the thing that you want to focus on, because it's going to take a long time unless we're just woefully inept at our jobs, Davey and I. It's going to take a long time to get to those points. We are finally, after 4 years, four hard years, seeing those outcomes of high sentiment, a strong signal that folks see how this reduces their load, helps them move faster, helps them move more confidently. But it was absolutely positively not like that for a long time. And we had to do a lot of work and build up a lot of trust to get to that point. And that's the thing, is time. There's no substitute for time with a design system, which is ironic because design systems are all about saving time.
Yeah. What do you say about the design system being a service versus a product?
I mean, I would, from the hip, I'd say there are plenty of products that have a service layer to it. I mean, we take a service approach to the design system, but it is absolutely a product with its own roadmap and its own KPIs and all the acronyms you could ever wish for. And so we treat it that way, to where we hold ourselves accountable to hit certain goals. We have milestones, roadmaps, blah, blah, blah. But the day-to-day of our team is very service oriented. And we gut check that on every survey that we send out, which is bi-yearly. We're constantly checking to make sure that we're meeting a high level of service, that we're approachable, that we're accessible, that we're meeting their needs, that we do so in a respectful way. And that is one of our critical, like, little metrics or markers for success. So I'd say it's kind of both. Just like a product has its own service layer, customer support and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, I would wager to say lean on most of the time after you get spun up being service oriented and service focused. The whole thing about serving people, I think, is a big layer of this, being there when designers need you and establishing trust. a large part of this, I think, especially in a org like ours at Meta, is very people focused, and being able to work with designers and triage and be there in the discovery phase and making sure that designers feel comfortable to come to you. And then as they go through the process, helping them guide their work to be, I'd say, design system friendly or compliant. I hate the word compliant, but you get the gist. I think if we forget about the service part of it and we think of ourselves more as a product, we're going to be possibly too opinionated that we're making decisions on behalf of other designers. So we can't forget that when we think about the idea of do you need a design system, I would say, can you afford to create the artifacts, documentation, and then support the people that are using the thing? Because if you can, and it's more than one of you, then like, cool. Like you're going to be set for hopefully a long road of success and, some speed bumps, but a lot of learnings and a lot of success and a lot of good partnerships.
Do you have the right people in place? So maybe you shouldn't be asking yourself, do you need it? Well, alongside of asking, do you need it? Can you actually accomplish it? Do you have the right people in place that are going to be interested in working behind the scenes, treating their peers as customers and trying to be a service layer? That's a different ball game in terms of the work that you do. You're typically going to be behind the scenes. You're going to be lifting other people up to get the recognition and accolades, knowing that you played a part in it, but you're never the star of the show. And that's, I like that. I enjoy that. But I think that's a good thing to call out for folks, that this is going to be the maintenance layer. And typically those things don't get celebrated as much as the stars of the quarterback versus the offensive lineman. And just going into that eyes wide open, do you have the people in place that are like, yeah, I love that. That's what I want to do all day. That's another important part of this question.
Yeah. This goes back to the whole idea of answering the question, do you need, but also really trying to figure out from a design leadership or engineering leadership point of view, what are they tuned to, and what's their love language, right? So if their love language is faster time to market, this seems good. If it's helping engineers onboard onto a new way of working, also good. I think a big part of this, other than service, is education and ensuring that interfaces are designed in a predictable fashion across the entire app. So that doesn't necessarily equate to a number of components. So it doesn't mean that, if I create more components, then things will be more compliant. You could have a small amount of components, but if your visual language and spacing and hierarchy and rhythm, very graphic design right now, if that's consistent across the entire app, it's going to look like a seamless experience, which I think at the end of the day is what leadership is looking for as well.
Yeah. And if the goal is to create bespoke, unique, one of a kind experiences, then maybe you don't need a design system. Maybe that's the opposite of it. So it goes back to, yeah, like you said, understanding what the goals are for the company, where it's headed, and if design systems are checking all the boxes for what they're looking for, great. If they're not, then don't waste anyone's time and work on something else.
There's a big portion of this also with systems thinking and product thinking about just creating constraints and creating rules and guidance. And that's a big part of this that I feel when we worked on the Dizzy Plus launch, a lot of this was institutionalized. It was like this because you primarily had three designers building out all the interfaces for the entire application. Three designers, three primary platforms, go. And I think from a scaling perspective, we didn't do a good job on the documentation side. So while we worked with engineers on our own to make sure that things were hit and it met the mark, I think the folks that came after us may not have that same success because they weren't able to follow the same patterns and guidelines because they didn't exist, in strict written out documentation and usage guidelines.
That documentation just exists in a state of time. You need to consistently keep those things updated. Are you ready to invest the time and effort to continually work on this thing? This isn't a checkbox to check and then you're done. This is an ongoing program that you're going to have to staff and maintain. And that's another thing to have a real honest conversation about is, do you have the resources and the commitment to keep this thing up? Because if you don't, then you've just wasted a lot of money spinning something up that you'll eventually have to spin down, which is not helping anyone.
Yeah, this is a good segue on talking about the scope of support. So if you're one person, it might mean that there's a way to contact you in Slack or alert you in Slack, whether it's just a good old DM or maybe there's methods for getting you into different bespoke conversations. I think that works very well if you're a team of one. If you're a team of, let's say, 5 to 8 designers, it's harder to get a hold of people. I would say one-on-one, because you might have people that are focused on component libraries or education or building out frameworks like that sort of thing. That's sort of like where we are today on my team. And one way that we're looking to improve on our documentation is we do have an on-call design on-call process where we rotate between all 8 of us. So every 8 weeks we go on call. I'm writing up guidelines right now to propose that we keep our documentation up to date via usage of the on-call designers. So the on-call designers would go into different documentation areas and check on the validity and the freshness of this documentation. So a good rule of thumb is if you see something that's either been on your wiki or your documentation and it says 26 weeks old, probably good to take a look to see if anything has changed. Maybe there's a article that you wrote internally that may reflect some changes, or there's a new build or an experiment. Being able to keep track of this stuff and being able to support designers finding this stuff, I think, is especially at our scale, is very important. So that's just a little bit about all the different nuances and the pieces. You could decide to go any which way you want to. In a presentation that I recently gave at the ADP List Product Day, I said if I were to start again, I would try to focus on 1.5 things. So the 1.5 things could vary, right? So I would probably focus on guidelines as one and component library as 0.5, because the guidelines is the hard part. The component library is the easy part. Vice versa would work as well. But focusing on one thing may be too small. I think we have to do both of those things in tandem.
Yeah, I like 1.5 things. There's something there.
You can't get 2 because you're one person, most likely.
Ideally, we would be focusing on one thing, but that is a tough sell for all parties. And there's always just too much to do. Typically, it's incredibly difficult just to focus on one thing.
Yeah, there's this like a reality that we have from. I would say that there's this distinction. We had talked about whether it's a design system that's been around for a while, like yours and ours. It could be a mature design system, or it could be simply a design system that's been around for a while. And that's fine too, because there's a lot of learnings that go on between the first few years. But like we're in a space where our React libraries and components are like beautiful. Great. Like you could make any permutation of these things. They're super clean. 100% compliant for the most part, meets WCAG most of the time. But the documentation that goes with that is you know, work in progress. The component libraries up until recently have been a little work in progress. We're really still trying to chase this baseline of what is this acceptable metric of design system deliverables. And it's a little humbling, right? Like in a team of 8 designers, like we're still chasing this, keeping stuff up to date and keeping stuff at this peak level.
And it's a moving target, because as soon as you hit a certain echelon of quality, you want to hit a higher echelon of quality. And so that's the other difficult thing is that that I'm trying to keep in my own personal frame of mind is the Gestalt team has made so much progress in 4 years. And what we would have considered good 4 years ago, we've passed that in some regards. But that doesn't mean we should stop. We should continue to make it better. That's the goal. But also having some historical memory of, hey, you have made it a long way. And while the demands of your customers increase, because great, like it solved those issues. Now we want more. That's healthy and that's fine. But I think it's important for you as an individual to remember how far you've come, and how much work it got there, and just acknowledge that, hey, that's pretty freaking good. Well done. Doesn't mean we stop, but it's a never ending process. You're never done. It's and almost like just being okay with that and understanding that no matter how good you do, there's always going to be something else that you can do to improve.
Yeah, there's a constant looking back at the beginnings of the system, whether I was here or not, and trying to understand how simple could I have made it? Could I start off at the token and primitive level and just gotten really, really good alignment on that and enforce that and then build guidance around that support? Should I have built more components and templates? Because should I have gone deeper into education and how to build properly? It's extremely tricky, and there's no... I can't go back in time because I wasn't here when a lot of decisions were made. But it's, I think for a lot of people that are joining teams, you're going to be inheriting a lot of things. So there's always the beauty of the idea is like, oh, what if we're able to start over? What would we do? And in rare cases, you can start over and create new systems.
And to take this full circle, maybe starting over means you just end it and you find another way to solve some of these problems, or it wasn't a problem to solve, but having something stay alive just for the sake of continuity, just because that's what we do. I think that's the problem, and constantly assessing, is this still the best thing, the most important thing that we can be doing, or is there something else that would be a better use of everyone's time?
We've hit over 30 minutes. Yes, we need a business design system at Meta. Yes, we need a system at Pinterest.
So far, it's still proven useful. So also, I'm still employed. But
so we're still doing good. We're still doing okay for ourselves. Well, thank you, PJ, for another good spirited discussion.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.